Father, I thank you right now for everything that's on these cards. Lord, you desire us to communicate with you. And Lord, all of these things are a prayer to you. We are asking you to intervene, to give wisdom, to give guidance, to help. Lord, in following you, it's not easy. Sometimes even knowing where to start and stop is important. But ultimately, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to help us to actually change. And Father, I pray that you would just work through these prayers, these requests, Lord, to accomplish your will in our lives. God, I ask right now that you would just really anoint Chuck as he speaks. I pray that you'd allow him to speak to our hearts in a really clear way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's welcome Chuck Doobie up.
All right. So, let's go ahead and get started. We're continuing a series called Discernment Required. And 2 weeks ago, we started the series. Last week, Bob talked about, anybody remember what topic? No, this week it's media. Last week was technology. And so, yes, this week we are continuing, and we're going to be talking about media and how what it looks like to discern, where we need discernment, and how we go about doing that. So before we get started, let me go ahead and pray really quick again, and because I definitely need God's help on this. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to be able to focus this time, Lord. Many of us are just really, so many different distractions around us, including for myself. Lord, I just pray that you would give me the words to speak and that we would be able to learn something from you today. Amen. So in talking about media, if we're going to be talking about media, then we need to start out and define media. So I looked it up in the dictionary. What is media? What does media really mean? I mean, I had a general idea what I thought it meant. But it says in the dictionary that I pulled, looked at, it says the means of communication that reach or influence people widely. The means of communication that reach or influence people widely. Well, and then they had a couple examples. So some of those examples are TV, radio, magazines, and it goes on. It's more than that. You got internet, you got music, you have video games. I believe video games definitely very much influence us, as you can read in the newspapers, how it's influenced some students in different ways, unfortunately. And then you got all types of advertisements. I believe advertisements influence us, either influence us to go out and buy something or quit doing something. We see whatever effects it may have. You may even want to include bumper stickers, but I don't know if bumper stickers necessarily influence you. They just maybe make you react, good or bad. So, yeah, that's definitely very much a means of communication that will influence us or reach us. Okay, so my purpose for today is, and I'll state it here at the beginning. Okay, I want to challenge you to critically evaluate your media habits and your choices. I want you to think critically about it and Christianly about it. What does that mean? Well, I want you to just kind of take a step back. That it won't be personal, just like, okay, if all somebody else looking in, what does it look like? And then two, Christianly, evaluate it in light of God's standards, and we're going to be looking into the Word today. So that's my purpose, to think critically and Christianly about your media choices and your habits. All right, so last year, Abby and I were sitting down on the couch, and we love watching TV together at nights and just chilling with really no set agenda. So we turn on the TV, and the night we turn on the TV, it happened to be the same night they were airing the Teen Choice Awards. How many of y'all have heard of Teen Choice Awards? All right, so this is a night, it's a program, it's almost like the Grammys, whatever, where they will recognize the achievements of the past year. And this was August of 2010 that we watched this. So they recognize the achievements in the areas of like music, movies, sports, television, and all kinds of genres. And it's Teen Choice Awards. So the people who vote on these ratings or who gets an award, and basically what they do, they get a surfboard, which is as tall as me. And that's their Grammy, if you will, a little surfboard, which is kind of funny. That's what they do, and they recognize that in teens ages 13 to 19 vote on this, and so that's where it goes to. Anyhow, they started out, and host of last year's Teen Choice Awards was Katy Perry and the cast from Glee. And so it started out with a song of Katy Perry, and so she sang it as host and singer. She sang her song, and it's called Teenage Dream. And I have on the tables, and before we take a look at it, I have on the tables, you can flip over the sheets if you like. You can follow along with the lyrics. There's two copies of it. Some of y'all may already know the lyrics by heart, so you all can kind of share. And the blue and the orange one. And so it started out, and this is how they kicked off the program. They showed her singing it, and I thought, hey, she's representing. This is Teen Choice Awards. Of all songs that they could pick, they decided to pick this song. And I thought it was very interesting. I was like, wow, does this represent the teenage population? I'm not a teenager anymore, but if I was a teen, I'd be like, interesting choice. So here it is. Let's go ahead and take a look at the music video.
By Katy Perry and the guys from Glee. You think I'm pretty without any makeup on. You think I'm funny when I tell the punchline wrong. I know you give me so I let the walls come down.
All right, there you go. That's the video. That's what they aired at the Teen Choice Awards. And I chose this video instead of the actual music video because the music video is too racy. So I was like, well, okay, we'll do this. And I don't encourage you to go watch it at home. So what we have on your tables, you have those sheets, you have the lyrics, and we're going to give you a couple minutes. And I have four questions that I would like you at your table, and I would like every table to have one adult present. So if we have any other tables that are missing adults, then yeah. And basically, we have the question. The next slide here has the questions for you. We want to hear, like I said from the beginning, I want to challenge you to critically evaluate your choices and whatever it is that you listen to, watch, read, play. So it's not about us telling you what you're supposed to believe. Necessarily, we're coming alongside you and trying to help you. So, freedom of speech. So we want to hear from you. So we want to hear what you think. And yeah, all right. So table leaders, any other tables are missing an adult leader? Okay. All right. We'll give you a couple minutes, and you can go through the four questions. We're going to go ahead and continue, and I, just from here, sitting at this table too, I feel like we could go on and talk all morning about this song and kind of what it means, and I don't know if I'm kind of intimidating sitting at the table, though. So, I just wanted to, I picked this song, and the reason why I picked this song, okay, so according to Billboard.com, this song is, for the last 25 weeks, since they aired this on Teen Choice Awards, for the last 25 weeks, it's been in the top most played, or top 25 most played radio songs, or songs on the radio. So it obviously says this is a popular song, so, you know, if it's not popular among you, I'm not saying this is what you all have on your iPod in your playlist. I'm not condemning you for listening to this song. I admit it at the table. Katy Perry's songs are very catchy, and they kind of get you on, has good rhythm, and I like that, you know. But what I'm doing is I'm challenging you just on what I've had to challenge myself to evaluate. And what we listen to, what we consume, what we allow just to kind of play off, just kind of what we soak up. So this video was just one example of these medias. We could discuss all kinds of songs. We could discuss movies. We could discuss computer games. We can go to websites and say, hey, what does it portray? But some themes that jumped out at me from this song, and which is why I chose it, was how it portrays physical intimacy. Or what you all would call sex, okay? It's pretty clear. I mean, you all know, you just read through it, it's like, well, going all the way tonight is not saying, well, we're going to complete our trip to California. The way it talks about authority, when she talks about running away, well, if you're on your own, she's married now to Russell Brand, but you don't need to run away from anything if you're married to someone, or if, you know, why would you need to run away? You know, we need to evaluate. That's just a theme that kind of jumps out at me. Oh, authority. A way it talks about drunkenness, regret, or guilt. Those are some themes that stand out just in this song. And what I would like to challenge you is, hey, what is this song, the way this song portrays culture or reality, how does that stand in light of what the Bible tells me to be true? And that's what I want to challenge you. And we're going to talk about some verses, some passages that I've studied that will touch on this very topic. So many of us don't have a process for determining what we watch, what media we consume, what we watch, read, play, or listen to. Many of our parents don't even have guidelines. That's what we're going to be talking about today. It's just, hey, you know, what should we do in this area? There are some boundaries. Some of us make up our boundaries based on how we feel at any given point or time. It's like, well, when I'm in the moment, then I'll decide whether I should watch this, listen to this. But, I mean, I don't really have anything that I could write and say, well, this is what I know in advance, you know, what I won't watch or what I won't listen to. And you may be asking, well, does the Bible even say anything about this? I mean, seriously, like, all these media choices that we have available weren't really common except for, you know, written print media. But, you know, back in the Bible times, it didn't have TVs, radios, internet, video games. So does it say anything? Is the Bible relevant on this issue? And so I found a passage that I thought was really great and that was very applicable to this. Yes, the Bible is relevant. And we're going to be studying, we're going to be reading about Paul. So Paul wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to a series of churches that he had the privilege of teaching for several years. And these churches, they met, and there was basically like what we have, our small groups. We have all small groups, and we split up around the building. But back then, they split up in different people's homes. So this letter that Paul wrote, and he was in prison at the time he wrote this letter, he wrote it, and they said, hey, pass this around. I just want to encourage you guys. And it's the letter, it's Ephesians, what we have in Ephesians. And Ephesians just has six chapters, and I'm not going to read it all to you today, but I'm going to summarize on basically what he talks about in his letter. And he writes to the church in Ephesus. And basically, we read, and he briefs them. He's like, well, starts out, you know, chapter 2, and he's like, hey, guys, this is how you were. This is how you used to be before you met Christ. And he's writing to believers here. And one thing that I want to point out, having standards, yes, I promote everyone to have standards. I, you know, wish we all had standards. But it's different when you are a believer in Christ and an unbeliever. You know, if you're an unbeliever, it's like, well, this doesn't really, you know, pertain to me. I don't have to follow it. And well, yeah, there's some truth in the Bible for anybody, whether you're a believer or not. So I'm challenging you as believers, and we continue. So he writes, hey, this is how you used to be. You used to gratify the cravings of your sinful nature. You just gave into it. If you wanted it, you just pursued it, your desires and your thoughts, and you just gave into that. Then he writes, hey, this is how God created you to be. This is what God wants for you. And he says, you're saved by grace. Christ died for you, and he saved you. He saved you from this. He saved you from this bondage, just kind of that burden that sin has on us. And that's what he saved you from. And he saved you, and he created you to do good works. And that's what he did for you. And he's encouraging them all along. And he says, but look, there's one discrepancy here. There's a disconnect. This is what you used to be. This is what you were saved to do. But this is what you guys are doing. And he says, guys, you're just like the Gentiles. You're doing things. You just kind of lost your sensitivity. Things don't faze you anymore. If you have an impulse to do something sinful, you've just given into it. You're indulging in every kind of impurity, and you still have lust for more. And he says, you lack the purpose or thinking, basically kind of like the planning. You know, you're just kind of throwing out all reason. You're just like, I want to do this. I'm going to go do it. You know, and he's like, that's what you guys have been doing. And he's like, you've been taught to... So you have an old lifestyle, and you have a new lifestyle that God created you to be. And he's like, you were taught to cast off the old, okay, old self, which is corrupted, and put on the new self. And this new self that he talks about is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And the passage that I want to talk about today, and I have it here on the screen, is here in Ephesians 5. And you can read along on the screen, or you can open up your Bibles. And I thought this was really... Well, I guess this was more challenging than encouraging to me. And this has been a passage that I've gone to in the past and been convicted about when it comes to my choices, my preferences, what I like, and what I consume. And it says here, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. We know what sexual immorality is. It's sin, sexual sin, and it's in all kinds of different shapes and sizes, if you will. Can't think of anything else. But yeah, it comes in all types of different forms, okay? And he says, not even a hint. Like, no tolerance. And this is God's standard he is talking about, or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for the Lord's people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And you wonder, it's like, well, why does he talk about sexual sin or fornication or whatever in the same passage with greed? Well, the reason being, they kind of, they're different expressions of the same weakness of that sinful nature, of giving in to our sinful nature, and basically uncontrolled appetite. Same people wanting more. That's greed. They're not satisfied, and they just want more and more. Same thing with sexual sin. It's the same root. It's like we want more. All of a sudden, the little things don't satisfy us. We want more. And that's why he says, no hint. Because of the danger, because of what this leads you down to, just stay away from it. You don't even want to start. It's much like this past Christmas, Abby and I flew to Germany visiting my parents for 2 weeks, which was great. And we were sitting around the table many, many times talking about, yeah, all kinds of memories. And we're talking about our dog, Ginger. And it was a family dog, and I loved it more than anyone else in my family. So I kind of took ownership over the dog and trained her everything she knew. And anyhow, when I left for college, they ended up selling the dog or giving her away. So I was bummed about that. I am definitely a dog person. But my dad was talking about kind of trying to justify it. And he said, well, some hunters came to us and said, well, look, your dog is chasing our deer away. Your dog killed one of our deer. And according to policy, we can shoot your dog if we see it out in the fields the next time. And I wasn't there, and this is how my dad tells the story. And he said, basically, well, that's why they gave her up and didn't want to make any people mad. But, yeah, I don't know if it was a hunting dog. I don't know. Don't ask me. But basically, she had gotten a taste of blood. Just a taste. And apparently, when dogs get a taste of blood, it's hard to retrain them because they just want more. They have that appetite. Like, I've tasted, and it's good, and it's fun. So I'm going to go chase and kill all types of deer and rabbits or whatever it is. And she would bring back some rabbits and lay it on the doorstep, and dead rabbits. And so that's basically what came to mind, is to abstain from every hint. Because once your appetite, has been whetted, once you know what it tastes like, your flesh desires more. He's like, look, I know where this leads. You should abstain from it. And you know what's interesting to me? And I didn't put this verse up on the screen, but he goes on the next couple verses. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Talks about, so I studied this. I was like, and I read some commentaries. And I was like, hey, what does it mean? What does it mean, empty words? Well, basically, it's people telling you, oh, it doesn't really matter. That's not that serious. Don't be deceived by that. Oh, well, God doesn't really mean this. I mean, he says this, yes, but it doesn't apply to us. It doesn't apply to this area. Well, don't be deceived by that. And it says, hey, don't be partners with them. Don't even hang around those kind of people. If they're belittling and making sure, making you feel like, oh, well, it's not that serious, just, skim over that passage. Doesn't apply to us. No. He's serious about this. And talks on here in this verse, verse 4, nor should there be any obscenity or foolish talk. Well, we may not do these things, and sometimes, a lot of times, this is the excuse. Well, I don't do those things. I don't sleep around. I mean, come on, seriously. Like, do you see me doing those things? But we may joke about it. And I've been guilty of this. Whatever kind of jokes. And lifestyle choices or just whatever. It's kind of like, we say these things just, to get a laugh because we know, oh, yeah, people laugh. And he says, look, don't even joke about it. We don't even want to see it. And another passage, the author of Psalms writes about his struggle and kind of what he does in his challenge, his prayer to God to overcome this area. And I have the verses on the screen. We can turn to that. He said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord." And that's a prayer that I've had to pray and quote time and time again when I'm wanting to overcome and attack whatever sin it is that I'm dealing with. And you know, and I could talk about all kinds of different media, but it all comes back to the same thing. I feel that this sexual sin, this thread is through all types of media. This is the dangerous part. Yeah, we have violence, but I don't even think that's that as dangerous as this sexual sin. That's why I decided to talk about this. And it's what we meditate on, the things that we watch and listen to. We think about a song. We just all of a sudden like catch ourselves replaying it. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, why am I even saying that? There's many songs that I had to quit listening to just because of the images that would pop in my head. I'm like, well, that's weird, you know. And then he says, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me." What's a vile thing? Well, I looked it up. It's wretchedly bad, highly offensive, objectionable, disgusting, morally debased. That's what it is. He's like, I'm not going to even put it in front of my eyes. It's because it's so wicked, because it will lead me down the wrong path. And I just wanted to encourage you guys with that. These have been passages that have helped me in my walk and in just discerning what it is that I watch and listen to. I want you to instead of mindlessly consuming media, I want you to morally and mindfully critique it. So here's the next slide. Go ahead and pull it up, and then one more. All right, 3D approach. This is what I read a couple of years ago. A guy, Walt Mueller, he created this, and I thought it was very helpful. And it's called the 3Ds. Basically, this is how it works. In regards to media, when it comes to setting boundaries, setting standards, and discerning what's right and wrong, you can ask yourself three questions. One, you need to discover the message. Basically what we did here on the tables, kind of follow this approach. Discover the message. What is the message behind it? How does it portray reality? How does it portray authority, love, or whatever? Ask yourself, is there a message, and what is the message? And two, you need to discern. What does the Bible say about it? Does the Bible say anything about it? And, well, is that wise? So, how does it stand, you know, to God's standard? How does it hold up to God's standards? And lastly, decide. We need to decide. It doesn't help just to like, well, I know these lyrics aren't right, or I'm not condemning this song. I'm not saying that if I ever catch you listening to this, that I'm going to like, you know, hop out of your car or something like that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in general, this is just one example, but I'm saying we need to decide because of the things we watch and listen to, it affects us. We need to decide, am I going to listen to this? What is the wise thing to do, kind of along with the series that we're doing Wednesday nights? What is the wise thing to do in light of my past experience, my temptations, right? What is the wise, how this is affecting me? What is the wise thing to do? And then we need to do the hard thing. We got to make a purpose choice to either not listen to it, not watch it. And you know better than anyone here else what affects you and what it is that you're struggling with. And you can set the boundaries and you can create your own guidelines. And we need to decide. We need to do what's tough. Sometimes we just need to turn off the TV, walk away, flee like Joseph, and decide. And I have a couple of examples just in my past when I've decided, like, you know, I'm gonna do what's right. I've gotten up and walked out of a movie theater when I was sitting with a bunch of group of friends. And that was hard. It was really hard for me to do because it was unpopular. Especially when I was Christian friends. I had a hard time standing against Christian friends or turning down something or getting up and turning off the TV or turning off the movie and saying, look, guys, I can't watch this. I don't even think it's right. When it's a Christian friend, they're like, whoa, all of a sudden they're feeling like, you know, that pressure, like, you have higher standards than me, or, you know, it's like this weird thing. Even when it's been family, it's like, no, guys, you know, you all can watch it, but I'm not going to watch it. And so that's the hard thing. Discover, discern, decide. And, yeah, I just want to encourage you to do that, and that's what I had for you today. So we can go ahead and have the worship team come on up, and let me go ahead and pray as they come up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that or these passages would resonate with the guys and girls here. Lord, I just pray that you would do the convicting, not me, but Lord, would your Holy Spirit just inside of us, just tell us what to do and give us the strength to do what's right and the courage to do it, even when it's tough. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen.